88 Precepts Introduction. Until the white race realizes that there is only one source from which we can ascertain lasting truths, there will never be peace or stability on this earth. In the immutable laws of nature are the keys to life, order, and understanding. The words of men, even those which some consider inspired, are subject to the translations, vocabulary, additions, subtractions, and distortions of fallible mortals. Therefore, every writing or influence, ancient or modern, must be strained through the test of conformity to natural law. The white peoples of the earth must collectively understand that they are equally subject to the iron-hard laws of nature with every other creature in the universe, or they will not secure peace, safety, nor even their existence. The world is in flames because races, sub-races, nations, and cultures are being forced to violate their own nature-ordained instincts for self-preservation. Many men of goodwill but little understanding are struggling against symptoms which are the result of disobedience to natural law. As is the nature of man, most take narrow provincial stances predicated on views formed by immediate environment, current circumstances, and conditioned dogma. This is encouraged by that powerful and ruthless tribe which has controlled the affairs of the world for untold centuries by exploiting man's baser instincts. Conflict among and between the unenlightened serves as their mask and shield. A deeper understanding of the fundamental laws that govern the affairs of us men is necessary if we are to save civilization from its usurious executioners. These few pages are not intended to provide a detailed system of government, but as precepts which, when understood, will benefit and preserve a people as individuals and as a nation. Number one, any religion or teaching which denies the natural laws of the universe is false. Number two, whatever a people's perception of God or the gods or the motive force of the universe might be, they can hardly deny that nature's laws are the work of, and therefore the intent of, that force. Number three, God and religion are distinct, separate, and often conflicting concepts. God is the personification of nature, proved perfect by the evidence of natural law. Religion is the creation of mortals, therefore predestined to fallibility. Religion may preserve or destroy a people, depending on the structure given by its progenitors, the motives of its agents, and the vagaries of historical circumstances. Number four, the truest form of prayer is communion with nature. It is not vocal. Go to a lonely spot, if possible a mountaintop, on a clear starlit night. Ponder the majesty and order of the infinite macrocosm. Then consider the intricacies of the equally infinite microcosm. Understand that you are on the one hand inconsequential beyond comprehension in the size of things, and on the other hand you are potentially valuable beyond comprehension as a link in destiny's chain. There you begin to understand how pride and self can coexist with respect and reverence. There we find harmony with nature, and with harmony comes strength, peace, and certainty. Number five, secular power systems protect and promote religions which teach of an afterlife. Thus people are taught to abandon defenses against the predators of this life. Number six, history, both secular and religious, is a fallible, conceived in self-serving deceit and promulgated by those who perceive benefits. Number seven, religion in its most beneficial form is the symbology of a people and their culture. A multi-racial religion destroys the senses of uniqueness, exclusivity, and the value necessary to the survival of a race. Number eight, what men call the supernatural is actually the natural, not yet understood or revealed. Number 9, a proliferation of laws, which the result loss of freedom is a sign of and directly proportional to spiritual sickness in a nation. Number 10, if a nation is devoid of spiritual health and moral character, then government and unprincipled men will fill the vacancy. Therefore, freedom prospers in moral values and tyranny thrives in moral decay. Number 11, truth requires little explanation. Therefore, beware of verbose doctrines. The great principles are revealed in brevity. Number 12, truth does not fear investigation. Number 13, unfounded belief is a pitfall. A people who do not check the validity and effect of their beliefs with reason will suffer and or perish. Number 14, no greater motivating force exists than the certain conviction that one is right. Number 15, in accord with nature's laws, nothing is more right than the preservation of one's own race. Number 16, discernment is a sign of a healthy people. In a sick or dying nation, civilization, culture, or race, substance is abandoned in favor of appearance. Number 17, discernment includes the ability to recognize the difference between belief and demonstrable reality. Number 18, there exists no such thing as rights or privileges under the laws of nature. The deer being stalked by a hungry lion has no right to life. However, he may purchase life by obedience to nature's ordained instincts for vigilance and flight. Similar, men have no rights to life, liberty, or happiness. These circumstances may be purchased by oneself, by one's family, by one's tribe, or by one's ancestors, but they are nonetheless purchased and are not rights. Furthermore, the value of these purchases can only be maintained through vigilance and obedience to natural law. Number 19, a people who are not convinced of their uniqueness and value will perish. Number 20, the white race has suffered invasions and brutality from Africa and Asia for thousands of years. For example, Attila and the Asiatic Huns, who invaded Europe in the 5th century, raping, plundering, and killing from the Alps to the Baltic and the Caspian Seas. This scenario was repeated by the Mongols of Genghis Khan 800 years later. Note here that the American Indians are not Native Americans, but are racial Asians. In the 8th century, hundreds of years before the Crusades, and 8 centuries before blacks were brought to America, the North African Moors of mixed racial background invaded and conquered Portugal, Spain, and part of France. So the attempted guilt trip placed on the white race by civilization's executioners is invalid under both historical circumstances and the natural law, which denies interspecies compassion. The fact is, all races have benefited immeasurably from the creative genius of the Aryan people. Number 21, a people who allow others not of their race to live among them will perish, because the inevitable result of racial integration is racial interbreeding, which destroys the characteristics and existence of a race. Forced integration is deliberate and malice genocide, particularly for a people like the white race, who are now a small minority in the world. Number 22, in the final analysis, a race or species is not judged superior or inferior by its accomplishments, but by its will and ability to survive. Number 23, political, economic, and religious systems may be destroyed and resurrected by men, but the death of a race is eternal. Number 24, no race of people can indefinitely continue their existence without territorial imperatives in which to propagate, protect, and promote their own kind. Number 25, a people without a culture exclusively their own will perish. Number 26, nature has put a certain antipathy between races and species to preserve the individuality and existence of each. Violation of the territorial imperative necessary to preserve that antipathy leads to either conflict or mongrelization. Number 27, it is not constructive to hate those of other races or even those of mixed races, but a separation must be maintained for the survival of one's own race. One must, however, hate with a pure and perfect hatred those of one's own race who commit treason against one's own kind and against the nation of one's own kind. One must hate with a perfect hatred all those people or practices which destroy one's people, one's culture, or the racial exclusiveness of one's territorial imperative. Number 28, the concept of a multiracial society violates every natural law for species preservation. Number 29, the concept of equality is declared a lie by every evidence of nature. It is a search for the lowest common denominator, and its pursuit will destroy every superior race, nation, or culture. In order for a plow horse to run as fast as a racehorse, you would first have to cripple that racehorse, and conversely, in order for a racehorse to pull as much as a plow horse, you would first have to cripple the plow horse. In either case, the pursuit of equality is to the destruction of excellence. Number 30, the instincts for racial and species preservation are ordained by nature. Number 31, instincts are nature's perfect mechanism for the survival of each race and species. The human weakness of rationalizing situations for self-gratification must not be permitted to interfere with these instincts. Number 32, miscegenation, that is race mixing, is and has always been the greatest threat to the survival of the Aryan race. Number 33, interspecies compassion is contrary to the laws of nature and is therefore suicidal. If a wolf were to intercede to save a lamb from a lion, he would be killed. Today we see the white man taxed so heavily that he cannot afford children. The taxes raised are then used to support the breeding of tens of millions of non-whites, many of whom then demand the last white females for breeding partners. As you can see, man is subject to all the laws of nature. This has nothing to do with the morality, hatred, good or evil. Nature does not recognize the concepts of good and evil in interspecies relationships. If the lion eats the lamb, it is good for the lion and evil for the lamb. If the lamb escapes and the lion starves, it is good for the lamb and evil for the lion. So we see the same incident is labeled both good and evil. This cannot be, for there are no contradictions within nature's law. Number 34, the instinct for sexual union is part of nature's perfect mechanism for species preservation. It begins early in life and often continues until late in life. It must not be repressed, and its purpose, namely reproduction, must not be thwarted either. Understand that for thousands of years, our females bore children at an early age. Now, in an attempt to conform to and compete in an alien culture, they deny their nature ordained instincts and duties, teach responsibility, but also have understanding. The life of a race springs from the wombs of its women. He who would judge must first understand the difference between what is good and what is right. Number 35, homosexuality is a crime against nature. All nature declares the purpose of the instinct of sexual union is reproduction, and thus preservation of the species. Homosexuality does not reproduce or preserve the species. It is unnatural and therefore a suicidal perversion. Number 36, sexual pornography degrades the nature of all who are involved. The woman is reduced to an object and sex to animal coupling. Number 37, that race whose males will not fight to the death to keep and mate with its females will perish. Any white man with healthy instincts feels disgust and revulsion when he sees a woman of his race with a man of another race. Those who today control the media and affairs of the Western world teach that this is wrong and shameful. They label it racism, as any ism, for instance the word nationalism, means you promote your nation. Racism merely means you promote and protect the life of your race. It is perhaps the proudest word in existence. Any man who disobeys these instincts is anti-nature. Number 38. In a sick and dying nation, culture, race, or civilization, political dissent and traditional values will be labeled and persecuted as heinous crimes by inquisitors clothing themselves in jingoistic patriotism. Number 39. A people who are ignorant of their past will defile the present and destroy their future. Number 40. A race must honor above all earthly things those who have given their lives or freedom for the preservation of the folk. Number 41. The folk, namely the members of the race, are the nation. Racial loyalties must always supersede geographical and natural boundaries. If this is taught and understood, it will end fractional wars. Wars must not be fought for the benefit of another race. Number 42. The nation's leaders are not rulers. They are servants and guardians. They are not to serve for personal gain. Choose only a guardian who has no interest in the accumulation of material things. Number 43. Choose and judge your leaders, also called guardians. Thus, those who seek always to limit the power of government are of good heart and conscience. Those who seek to expand the power of government are base tyrants. Number 44. No government can give anything to anybody without first taking from another. Government is, by its very nature, legalized taking. A limited amount of government is a necessary burden for natural defense and internal order. Anything more is counterproductive to freedom and liberty. Number 45. The organic founding law, namely the constitution of a nation, must be amendable by any method other than unanimous consent of all parties thereto and with all parties present. Otherwise, the doors are open for the advent of that most dangerous and deadly form of government, namely democracy. Number 46. In a democracy, those who control the media and thus the minds of the electorate have power undreamed by kings or dictators. Number 47. The simplest way to describe a democracy is this. Three people form a government, each having one vote. Then two of them vote to steal the wealth of the third. Number 48. The latter stages of a democracy are filled with foreign wars because the bankrupt system attempts to preserve itself by plundering other nations. Number 49. In a democracy, that which is legal is seldom moral, and that which is moral is often illegal. Number 50. A democracy is always followed by a strong man. Some call him a dictator. It is the only way to restore order out of the chaos caused by democracy. Pick your strong man wisely. He must be a guardian in his heart. He must be one who has shown that his only purpose in life is the preservation of the folk. His ultimate aim must be to restore the rule of law based on the perfect laws of nature. Do not choose him by his words. Choose one who has sacrificed all in the face of tyranny. One who has endured and persevered. This is the only reliable evidence of his worthiness and motives. Number 51. A power system will do anything, no matter how corrupt or brutal, to preserve itself. Number 52. Tyrannies cannot be ended without the use of force. Number 53. Those who commit treason disguise their deeds in proclamations of patriotism. Number 54. Propaganda is a major component in all power systems. both secular and religious, and false propaganda is a major component of unprincipled power systems. All power systems endeavor to convince their subjects that the system is good, just, and beneficial, and noble, as well as worthy of preparation and defense. The more diagnostic propaganda issued, the more suspicious one should be of its truth. Number 55, political power in the final analysis is created and maintained by force. Number 56, a power system, secular or religious, which employs extensive calls to patriotism or requires verbosity and rhetoric for its preservation is masking tyranny. Number 57, propaganda is a legitimate and necessary weapon in any struggle. The elements of successful propaganda are simplicity, emotion, repetition, and brevity. Also, since men believe what they want to believe, and since they want to believe that which they perceive as beneficial to themselves, then successful propaganda must appeal to the perceived self-interest of those to whom it is disseminated. Number 58. Tyrannies teach what to think. Free men learn how to think. Number 59. Beware of men who increase their wealth by the use of words. Particularly, beware of the lawyers or any priest who denies natural law. Number 60. The patriot being led to the Inquisition dungeons or the executioner's axe will be condemned the loudest by his former friends and allies, for thus they seek to escape the same fate. Number 61. The sweet goddess of peace lives only under the protective arm of the ready god of war. Number 62. The organic founding law of a nation must state with unmistakable and irrevocable detail the identity of the homogeneous racial cultural group for whose welfare it was formed, and that the continued existence of the nation is singularly for all time for the welfare of that specific group only. Number 63, that race or culture which lets others influence or control any of the following will perish. Number 1, organs of information. Number 2, educational institutions. Number 3, religious institutions. Number 4, political offices. Number 5, creation of their money. Number 6, judicial institutions. Number 7, cultural institutions. Number 8, economic life. Number 64, just laws require little explanation. This meaning is irrevocable in detail and simplicity. Number 65, men's emotions are stirred far more effectively by the spoken word than by the written word. This is why a ruling tyranny will react more violently to gathering of dissenters than to books or pamphlets. Number 66, the organic founding law of the nation or any law is exactly as pertinent as the will and power to enforce it. Number 67, an unarmed and or non-militant people will be enslaved. Number 68, some say the pen is more powerful than the sword. Perhaps so, yet the word without the sword has no authority. Number 69, tyrannies are usually built step by step and disguised by noble rhetoric. Number 70, the differences between a terrorist and a patriot is control of the press. Number 71, the judgments of the guardians, namely the leaders, must be true to natural law and yet tempered by reason. Number 72, materialism is base and destructive. The guardians of a nation must constantly warn against combat a materialistic spirit in the nation. Number 73, materialism leads men to seek artificial status through wealth or property. True social status comes from service to family, race, and nation. Number 74, materialism ultimately leads to conspicuous, unnecessary consumption, which in turn leads to the rape of nature and destruction of the environment. It is unnatural, the true guardians of the nations must be wholly untainted by materialism. Number 75. The function of a merchant or salesman is to provide a method of exchange. A merchant who promotes unnecessary consumption and materialism must not be tolerated. Number 76. The only lawful functions of money are as a medium of exchange and a store of value. All other uses, including social, engineering, speculation, inflation, and especially usury, are unlawful. Usury's interest, in particular, at any percent, is a high crime which cannot be tolerated. Number 77. A nation with an aristocracy of money, lawyers, or merchants will become a tyranny. Number 78. The simplest way to describe a usury-based central banking system is this. The bankers demand the property of the nation as collateral for their loans. At interest, more money is owed them than they created with the loans. So eventually, the bankers foreclose on the nation. Number 79. Interest, usury, inflation, and oppressive taxation are theft by deception and destroy the moral fabric of the nation. Number 80. Wealth gained without sacrifice or honest labor will usually be misused. Number 81. Nothing in nature is static. Either the life force grows and expands or it decays and dies. Number 82. Respect must be earned. It cannot be demanded or assumed. Number 83. Avoid a fictitious man, for his venom will poison your own nature. Number 84. Self-discipline is a mark of a higher man. Number 85. One measure of a man's is cheerfulness in adversity. Number 86. A fool judges men by their words. A wise man judges others by their actions and accomplishments. Number 87. In our relationship or interaction, as in all of nature's laws, to each action there is a reaction. That which we plant will be harvested, if not by ourselves, then by another or others. Number 88. These are sure signs of a sick and dying nation. If you see any of them, your guardians are committing treason. Number 1. Mixing and destruction of the founding race. Number 2. Destruction of the family units. Number 3. Oppressive taxation. Number 4. Corruption of the law. Number 5. Terror and suppression against those who warn of the nation's error. Number 6. Immorality, drugs, drunkenness, etc. Number 7. Infanticide, now called abortion. Number 8. Destruction of the currency, inflation or usury. Number 9. Aliens in the land. Number 10. Materialism. Number 11. Foreign wars. Number 12. Guardians or leaders who pursue wealth or glory. Number 13. Homosexuality. Number 14. Alien culture. Number 15. Religion not based on natural law. This concludes the 88 Precepts by David Lane Wodenson.